This is Radio 4, and now, as part of our romance season, Saturday Night Theatre, The Wind Pump. The Wind Pump by Dawn Lowe Watson, with James Lawrenson as William and Charlotte Attenborough as Maria.
For improvement. The balance isn't quite right yet, but we've got 10 days to go, okay? Right. See you all tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, David, I'm not late.
I wasn't sure where I was meant to be seeing you. I went to the house.
No. My room, surely.
Mrs. Tully Jones said you were here, gave me your mail.
Oh.
She said to remind you about tonight.
Tonight? What about tonight?
Well, something about a dinner party.
Did she say whether we are meant to be going out or whoever it is coming to us?
She didn't, actually.
Oh, I don't know which is worse. When am I meant to be on parade, you know?
She just said you had to have time to change, so I wasn't to keep you.
You bought me an essay?
Well, that's partly why I've been...
Come on. Don't let's talk about it here. I'm not strong enough after that lot. Yeah, we've got the Townsend working again. That's something. Now, what has she sent me here, and why does she do it? It's a pathetic attempt to put an end to all the red demands, you know. Though why the dear soul won't simply pay the bills herself, I don't know. We have a joint account, after all. It would be so much simpler. What's this? Maria Newbridge. Never heard of her. We're searching for an investigative program on the way. Well, can she come and see me? Won't take more than a couple of hours. Oh, I don't have a couple of hours, do I? Ever heard of this Newbridge female, David?
Hello, yes?
May I speak to Mr. Tully Jones?
Who is it?
My name is Maria Newbridge. I wrote. It's in connection
He's
with...
not here.
When might I be likely to catch him?
I couldn't say.
I'm working on a program about men and women in captivity and their lives immediately after release. Hostages. Prisoners of war, political prisoners.
He was released in 1945.
It is then I am concerned with.
Darling!
Yes?
Is that television woman?
He's
coming. Hold on.
Thank you.
I'm going to the garden, darling.
Will Jones?
I've caught you at a bad moment, haven't I?
No, not at all. I'm glad you rang. I'm not sure how I can help, but your letter sounds interesting.
Would you be happy to meet and talk?
Well, I'd be delighted to help in any way I can, though my memory is not of the best. What would suit you? Would you like to come to Cambridge? I do go to London, but as seldom as possible.
Cambridge would suit me very well. I'm in East Anglia at the moment, actually.
Oh, it was in Norfolk. I spent my first young soldiering days living in a little wind pump on the edge of one of the Broads, playing around with signals and communications. Great fun. And then that's where I took myself after the war.
To the Broads?
Yes, the very same wind pump.
Oh, goodness.
That's where I began to write music. All this can wait until we meet. I say, this could be rather fun.
Well, that's her wrapped up. Look, I'm off. We'll do the cutaways on Friday. I've got my professor at 3.
Remind me.
Cambridge, elderly composer. Veteran of the Jap death camps, Burma-Thailand Railway. Second World War?
So, when do you want us? Next Wednesday?
The 24th, I've got.
It'll be an all-day job. We go on to Norfolk after Cambridge. He lived on the edge of the Broads after the war in this weird little wind pump.
What's a wind pump when it's at home?
Very isolated. Wild. You'll be interested, Mike. Lots of birds. The feathered kind, of no interest to Tony. My man would have been quite a hermit for a while.
Her man? Listen to her.
I've not met him yet. But he sounds nice. Surprisingly youthful voice. Could be any age if one didn't know. Wife's a battle axe.
Come in.
Mr. Dr. Tully Jones.
Ah.
Maria Newbert.
Oh, good of you to come. Hello.
Gosh, what a lovely room.
You're too kind. what do you want of me?
Well, I'd like you to tell me, if you're happy to do so, something about your release from prison camp. What it felt like to be back in the world. What it was like to be with people who hadn't shared your ordeal. Where you went first, once you were home, and how you lived, or what you made of your life.
Yes. Well, then, where do I begin? What did it feel like to be home?
Yes.
Terrifying. Out there, of course, once we were free, it was not terrifying, not at all. It was just amazing, hardly take it in. I mean, when we were released, we were still all together, you see, those of us who'd survived. And you must remember just how few of us did. I don't suppose people realize today the carnage and the cruelty, the sickness and the dying. It's important to realize the Japanese didn't regard us as human. We were prisoners of war, and as such, according to their culture then, we were beneath contempt. Now, they would never have allowed themselves to be taken prisoner, you see. No, they'd have committed harakiri.
Oh, but did they?
Well, a lot did, you know. But, yes, most just accepted their orders. They were told by their supreme command that the fight was over, the game was up. Emperor told them to capitulate, so they just laid down their arms. Quite passive. Very strange. Difficult for us to understand. Oh, sorry. Where were we? Release. Oh, it's all so long ago.
I haven't the faintest idea. Look, it's no good expecting me to know his movements. I'm the last to know. Try the college. Look, sorry, I'm late for my upholstery class, and God knows how many people I meant to be feeding tonight. I've lost count. I'll write him a note telling him to ring you. I leave anything vital on the loo seat. It's the only place I know for certain he'll go eventually. Bye.
Do you want all this?
Oh, yes, please. It's fascinating.
I was a private soldier, you know, in the ranks. Wasn't an officer. Very young. Left school straight into the army in 1940. I had no idea what was happening when I went out east. We thought we were off to fight the Germans in the desert, and then we were diverted to Singapore when Pearl Harbor happened. You ever been out east?
I went to Singapore last year.
Oh. Work?
Not for me. My friend was in the property business.
Ah.
Hotels. Oh, the place we stayed at was very grand. Tout confort. A bit different from your Changi experiences.
Yes, well, Changi was not the Ritz. Though compared with Thailand, Siam then, it was cushy.
Tell me about Thailand.
They sent us up in rice trucks. 5 days it took. 35 of us to a truck, packed in like animals. Well, worse than animals, really, because, well, they didn't mind if we died. We were expendable. Oh, plenty more sick and wounded back at Changi, waiting to take our places. Dysentery, malaria. No sanitary provision for us, of course. Only a mouthful of mouldy rice once a day. Damn all water. No, wasn't amusing. And when we got to the end of this ghastly march up to the bases where they wanted us to start building their bloody railway, well, we had to build our own camps. There was nothing there, just jungle. So, till we had huts, we slept rough. Yeah, men went down with every known tropical disease. That was cholera, of course. No, ignore it. Japs were terrified of cholera, so if you got it, you just went into a tent in the jungle with no one but other cholera patients and the odd sainted orderly. All the hours of the light, you built their railway. You were kicked and beaten with the butt of a rifle. Staggered back to your hut in the dark to a bowl of sour rice and weevils. If you were very clever, you didn't commit some boob, like failing to bow to some nip you hadn't noticed, and get one of their more sophisticated punishments. Now, standing outside the guardroom, holding a rock above your head in the blinding sun for 48 hours and being kicked to your feet when you fell was routine stuff. Yeah. And you watched your friends die. So you see, when we were released, we were, a bit bemused, I suppose.
Blast! Yes! Oh, Master! Oh, not at all. Oh, not a bit. No, nothing important. Just a little class I go to. Well, yes, but just in case you don't find him in his rooms, I'll leave a note for him here on the hall table. It's just possible he'll get home before I do. Oh, no trouble at all. My regards to Lady Cliff. Shit.
You must have felt murderous towards them.
Funny thing was, we didn't. All we wanted was to get home. I don't think any of us thought of anything else. Home. Loved ones. The thought of seeing my mother again. I felt if I just got home and saw her, it wouldn't matter if I died then. That'd be enough. Oh, silly thing, emotion, isn't it? Things that set you off. Kindness, any little kindness, just for ages afterwards.
I think a man has to be quite strong to cry.
Do you? Are you really? Huh. Well, of course people are more tolerant now.
I don't think women particularly like the stiff upper lip kind of man.
Oh. Maybe you're rather special.
Pretty ordinary, really. But go on.
Yes, it was all a bit much, you know. I say, are you married?
For a while I was. I was very young. Too young, we were students.
Difficult business, marriage. Maybe one's always too young. No children?
Sadly.
That's when your troubles start.
You have a family?
Our daughter lives in America. She and Tiny, well, the more miles between them, the better, I fear. Very fond of her, but two powerful women, you know how it is. And, of course, you had a career to think about.
Oh, I wouldn't let that stop me.
Well, plenty of time yet.
No, I may have left that a bit late. Like a lot of things. Anyway, you've got me digressing again, haven't you? I've got to keep you on course, or it'll be you interviewing me. Emotions. Strong men crying. You were saying coming home.
Well, yes, of course, we weren't what they expected, the people at home. And that was part of the problem.
What do you mean?
Yes, you know what British people are like. There's been a lot of togetherness during the war. They talked about it. That was fine, but we couldn't talk about our war. So we were silent.
You didn't want to.
No, we couldn't. It's difficult to explain. We just couldn't. Then, of course, a lot of them had been sure their lads were dead. And, you see, there were men who came back to find their girlfriends or wives, too, hadn't waited. Well, maybe they did think they were dead, or some just couldn't stay the course. I knew a number of chaps that happened to.
But not to you?
My adored widowed mother was dying of cancer while I was hurrying home, unaware of it. We had only feel now. Well, I can't have been much help to her in those days. That's what I regret. If I'd had time just to... Well, still,
No, she remarried in 1944. I didn't take to her husband, he to me. Then there was my sister. She's a good girl, but we didn't have much in common. And Tiny. My wife.
This is the Tully Jones residence. Unfortunately, there's nobody here to take your message at the moment. But if you would please leave your name, telephone number, and the date and time of your call, one of us will get back to you as soon as possible. Please start speaking after the tone.
Trying to get a hold of Maria Newbridge. If you see her, can you let her know the cameraman's trying to locate her?
Tiny was my cousin. She was the first person I saw.
She met the shipping?
Oh, no. Nobody met us at Liverpool. We kind of slid into the country. There were trains laid on to take us where we needed to go, and Tiny was waiting for me at Euston in her usual capable way. All I remember is being whisked away in a London cab. Poleaxing. Culture shock. London. And Tiny. You met Tiny?
We've spoken on the phone.
Ah.
And then you married Tiny?
Oh, not for a long time. No. No, first it was just this strange, sort of limbo period of living at home with mother ill in the house and this peculiar man calling himself my father. Honestly, I can't remember a lot about it. And rationing went on, of course, and they all talked about how there weren't any bananas and all that.
But you'd been starving.
Well, you know, people are always more interested in telling you about themselves. No, that just seemed a gulf. I did a lot of walking alone. Used to spend hours in the woods sitting on a tree stump. I don't even know to what extent I was thinking, but I listened. I listened to the birds and the sound of the trees and the leaves rustling and the branches moving in the wind. The English sounds fascinated me. They're so different from the jungle, so cool. And I started taking scraps of manuscript paper with me and writing down musical thoughts.
Well, you were a music student before the war.
Well, I was a schoolboy before the war. I played rugger and marched up and down in the corps and swam. No, I had some piano lessons in the way one did, but nobody thought I had any great gift. No, music was never an enormous part of my life. I had a wind-up gramophone, listened to records. I think... Well, what really started me off with music was missing it.
I'm sorry?
Well, out there...
Oh.
Once I realized I missed music, I knew it was important. And occasionally there were wonderful moments. The Eurasian flautist, another prisoner who'd somehow had his instrument still with him. He used to play to me. Magical. I loved it, so... In the dark, he played very, very softly. They would have been punished if they'd heard. Or down by the river, if we ever had a brief yazume.
What's a yazume?
Rest, holiday, time off. Few and far between. No, we'd both been ill, very ill. I mean, we were always ill, but iller than usual, and... Somehow, by some miracle, the Australian doctors, he's a marvellous man, managed to get us off work on the bond. And... Well, I carried him down so he could lie watching the tides washing the elephants in the river. And he played. It was just so peaceful and beautiful. And... Well, I have no idea what he was playing, but it was transporting. Quite different from anything I'd ever heard before. And that night, he died next to me in our hut. Do you know, when I realized he was dead, I wept myself to sleep. It wasn't for him, poor devil. It was because there wouldn't be any more music. Pretty shaming, isn't it?
Oh, I think I can understand. The loss of music would be terrible to me, too.
Would it? Huh. Oh, I mustn't keep you any longer. You must wander
around. I'm in no hurry.
But I am. Good gracious, Tiny will be storming the streets if I'm not back soon. We're going out. Yes, again, we go out a lot.
But we haven't talked about where you went to compose after your mother died. Your life on the Broads, when you were alone. We've hardly begun. I want to know...
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I can't. Not just now. I'd no idea it was so late. Let's meet again. I'll ring you when I've got my diary.
Well, shall I ring you?
No. I'll ring you. I must rush now.
Well, I'm not very easy to get hold
don't
of.
Don't worry. I'll find you. Forgive me. Oh, that'll be her. She does this. I have to go.
I found your wind pump.
How the hell did you do that?
I'm rather resourceful.
But nobody ever goes there.
Do you mind?
Well, it's a private broad. No one's ever heard of it. It's impossible to find.
I found it. I got permission from the owner, Miss Letheringale.
Huh. Oh, she must be senile by
now. No, she's not. She was very helpful. I had tea in her house. You haven't been recently?
Recently? Oh, I've not been back to Marling since... Oh, God, when would it have been? Late 47. Ha! Huh. I'm amazed she's still around. How extraordinary to think of you actually going there. And the wind pump?
Locked.
It was never locked.
Times have changed.
I could show you where to climb in. In a way, I'm disappointed.
Why is that?
Oh, I'd have taken you myself.
Are you sure? All this time, you've not given the place a thought.
Well, that's not true.
A minute ago, you were trying to get rid of me.
I was... Oh, my God, the time. You made me forget the time.
I?
You just drop into my life like this, like... Like magic. You're... When am I going to see you again? I'll ring you tomorrow.
If you don't, I shall ring you. Hello? Miss Letheringale?
Hello? Who's that? I can't see with the sun so low.
It's Maria Newbridge. Oh. Am I interrupting you?
I've just finished.
Oh, may I look?
If you want.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You sound surprised.
Well, I suppose I am a bit.
You expected a delicate little watercolour, broadland scene at dusk, something innocuous.
Well, no. Actually, yes, I suppose I did. But this is really very powerful.
You don't have to like it.
Oh, but I love it. If I didn't know, I'd think it was the work of a young person.
What a compliment.
Your sky. So many people paint the Broads like they're bland and safe. Your sky's marvellously threatening. Oh, that colour.
I wanted to catch the feeling of this violent sunlight between rainstorms with the next flurry coming up.
It's very passionate.
Well... Do you think old people shouldn't have passion?
Oh, no.
That's one of the agreeable things about old age. It doesn't eat one up in the same way. Here I am, burning up the passion in a painting.
You make it sound so easy.
Nothing to do with growing up is ever easy.
Do you see yourself as still growing up?
Of course.
May I buy the picture?
I don't sell my work.
Why?
For years I used to exhibit and I sold a lot. Now I just... keep the paintings for myself. I like to look at them in my studio. And why shouldn't I?
Why not?
My paintings are my friends. In the old days when the galleries were approaching me and I was selling, I used to feel I was losing a lover each time I saw one go. Not that I ever went in for lovers.
No?
No.
Does that make you sad?
Not a bit. Oh, what do you want today?
I came to ask if... if you could tell me more about Dr. Tully Jones, when he was living in the tower.
The young man with the flute.
Oh, he had a flute.
Didn't he tell you that? Oh, well, you see, you've a lot more to find out. On a spring evening, when it was still, I could open my bedroom window and hear the flute over the water, down on the marsh. Sometimes he played very late. On a dark night, I could see the tiny point of light down there. He rigged up something. And the music. He was playing for someone.
Who?
He hasn't told you about her. He's hardly begun, has he, dear? I was too old for him. I was already an old maid. I lived here with my parents and looked out of the window. Used to spend so many evenings looking out of that window. Looking. Listening.
I never knew her well. But they were quite a reclusive family. She used to paint, as I remember.
She still does.
Does she now? Well.
Did you ever see her work?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, come on. Surely you'd remember that.
Well, I wasn't terribly interested in the woman.
What's her Christian name?
Anne.
Ah, so you remember that.
Oh, one remembers odd things. I've been remembering a lot since our last meeting. But now you're bullying me.
Oh, you can look after yourself.
What makes you think that?
I think you're basically tough, that's why.
Well, even if I can cry...
You're in touch with your emotions. I envy you.
There's a note of sadness, eh?
Well, maybe... Perhaps I'm scared.
Of feeling?
Could be.
You have been hurt.
We're here to talk about you.
I would think that if you loved someone... You could love quite fiercely.
That could be why I'm wary.
Of passion? Yes.
Something like that. Come on, back to the drawing board. Why did you think of going back to the wind pump post-war?
Oh, it's such a long time ago, you understand? No, I couldn't stand my stepfather. He was getting on my nerves. I had this feeling that the people who came to the house and... Oh, there were a lot of them, of course, coming to visit my mother. I just felt as being trotted out for them, you know. This is poor William, who's been a prisoner of war, suffered so terribly, and you should just have seen him when he first arrived.
They were only speaking the truth.
No, I know, but... Well, it set me apart. I felt they were all goggling, expecting me to behave very strangely and be peculiar. Well, I dare say I was. I suppose I was very peculiar indeed. Well, I don't want anybody's pity. I never did. I just wanted to be left alone and allowed to heal. I didn't want people staring and saying we've got to be careful with young Will. They're very unstable, these men. So, one day I just packed my old army haversack and buggered off. I came back to Norfolk and the Broads because I couldn't think of anywhere else to go. I'd always loved it. Wild and open and free. Thought I could breathe again. Perhaps I got used to being out of doors, even in all the heat and filth and carnage. Shut up in an English suburban drawing room, I felt desperate.
Didn't you have any regrets?
Well, why should I?
Your mother was dying of cancer.
You're saying I shouldn't have left her?
Well, should you?
I don't reckon I was contributing much.
What an extraordinary thing to say. She'd lost you all those years, thought you were dead, worse than dead.
But I don't think you can be worse than dead.
Don't you?
I'd rather have any life than none. However awful it is, you can always feel somewhere inside you that... It's going to end one day, and life will be good again.
You really thought that?
I think so, mostly. I expect I talk a lot of nonsense.
And did your mother die while you were there? But you still felt it was right to go?
Well, it was essential. I dare say she understands now, wherever she is.
Were you alone in the wind pump?
Oh, you've seen the size of it.
Well, I've not been inside.
Well, it's cramped, but you learn to be tidy. Rather a wonderful way to be, really. It's so simple. In many ways, I miss it.
Just look around this room and say that again.
No. I can live anywhere. I can adapt. You have to if you're to be a survivor. No, believe me, I'm not joking.
Do you seriously suggest you could do it now?
Yes, if I put my mind to it. It's a rather tempting thought. No books, no papers, no detritus. Now, you may say it's a fantasy, a dream, but don't we live on dreams to some extent?
I'm not sure I do.
You distrust dreams?
Maybe.
Oh. Oh, that's very sad.
Well, when I was young...
You are young.
Not young enough. In my world, it won't be long before I'm past my sell-by date. Anyway, when I was a kid, I had this fantasy about living in one of the huts on Brighton Beach. I thought it would be wonderful in there, frying up sausages on a camping gas, with the waves crashing up on the shingle outside.
Was there a companion in your fantasy?
There may have been a fella.
I'd like to live in the wind pump with you.
I've never learned to be tidy. You'd throw me out in no time.
Well, I could teach you.
What an impulsive man you are.
All the best things in my life have been snap decisions.
And what have you decided now?
That if you'd been around all those years ago...
Ah. Well, that's fate for you. Huh. What did you do all day?
I listened to the music in my head. I took my flute, played a little.
Yes, so Miss Lettingale said.
She used to listen from her window.
You knew that?
I could see the light.
She watched yours. She said you were playing for someone.
Did she?
But there wasn't anyone, was there? Only the Lettingales, and you say they were reclusive.
Well, there was the farm. The farmer's daughter used to bring me milk and eggs. Possibly I was playing for her.
After the war?
Well, before and after. She used to come and talk to me. She'd come down the loch and I'd hear her walking over the duckboard. She'd stand in the reed and look up and... Oh, I can see her. We're both so young. I couldn't have been more than 18, 19. She was always in hand-me-downs from her big sisters or her mother. Then she went away to be a land girl. I missed her.
Did you love her?
Well, I remembered her while I was in the camps. I thought about her.
Did you make love to her?
Oh, good heavens, no. We didn't do things that way then. And I may have kissed her, no more.
And she was why you went back there after the war?
Oh, I don't know. It's possible.
Was she pretty?
I've forgotten. Yes. Yes, she was very pretty. How tenacious you are. No, actually, she wasn't pretty. She had a quality, really. Yeah, she was like you, Maria. Her name was Mary. Shall we have lunch? Any of that chocolate cake left?
Cut yourself a slice. When are we going to see this television programme, then?
Oh, Lord knows. They take months to get off the ground.
I think she's got a thing about you.
I'm old enough to be a grandfather.
Young women like older men. So far as susceptible women of any age are concerned, you're lethal. So don't encourage her.
She's a very good listener.
They all are, to start with. The grass needs cutting. Oh, don't waste too much time over that woman, Ducky.
Oh, I that's in the bag, then. Only leaves the French architect bloke and Maria's aged professor.
It's the bit on the Broads next Wednesday, yes? Maria?
We've got the trip out there in the dinghy. Keep fingers crossed for weather. Where are you sleeping that night, Maria?
Probably belting back to London. Why?
Why not stay over?
Where?
In my bed.
Oh, will you never give up? You are crude, Tony. He never told me he'd sat for you. How secretive he is.
That must be a challenge for you, dear.
When did you paint this?
Must have been 1946 or early 47.
Did he talk while you painted it?
A certain amount. He'd come over here when Mary was out at work. She stayed on at the farm where she'd worked as a land girl during the war. She virtually ran the place, doing the books, managing the office side. The farmer was sweet on her, I'm sure, but she would have none of him. It was always only William. She was fiercely loyal. Women have always been faithful to William.
And he to them?
You certainly do take your research seriously. You neither of you seem able to keep away from the place these days.
He's been back.
What have you done, my dear? Awaking all these old memories. Even I caught myself back at the window the other night, watching for the lamp over there. What are we all looking for? And what, I ask myself, does Tiny make of it all?
Anyone is entitled to change their mind. Well, as it happens, I do have one or two ideas at the moment. Hmm? I know I said, but look, you can't order these things. No, I didn't say you weren't creative. I know gardening's creative. No, I'm not being remotely sarcastic. It's no good asking me to explain. Just call it the muse, hmm? Well, you call it what you like, but the music's in my head, and I intend to stay here late writing it, and if I want, I shall drive up to Norfolk again. Right? Maria?
Oh, hi. I was going to call you.
Oh.
Are we all set for tomorrow?
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, indeed. I was just wondering, how are you coming? I mean, alone or... or with your henchmen?
but I'm meeting them at Miss Lessingham's.
Meet me at the boatyard. Just you.
Oh?
I'll take you across the broad in the dinghy. It's much the nicest approach.
Okay.
At the stave, then. 2 o'clock.
2 it is.
Oh, this is the best way to approach. You should have waited for me to bring you across the broad your first visit.
I couldn't wait. But yes, you're right. When I saw it first, I thought it was a mini windmill. What's it for?
It's for draining the dikes. In the old days, there were sails, of course, and then they were driven by internal combustion engines till it all became electrified. Now, they're just part of the landscape. You take the tiller, I'll jump.
All right.
Give me the painter.
Mm-hmm.
Mind getting your feet wet?
No.
No? Good girl. Girl after my heart. Oh, you'll have to wade now.
Oh, this is much better than plodding across the fields.
Oh, when I was first here, there weren't fields. It was all wetland then, for all the digging for victory. And the reed bed was more extensive than it is now. I used to help the men cut the reed after the war. I can tell you it's cold out here in the early light on a January morning. Your East Anglian reed cutter's a hardy animal.
Do they still do it?
Oh, they do indeed. Norfolk reed goes all over the country for thatching. You all right?
Yes, the water's not cold.
Look there.
Where? What?
Here, take the binoculars and come a bit close.
What am I meant to be looking at?
The marsh harrier. There, see him?
Oh, over there. Yes, I see it.
Hang on. I'll get the key, open up. How long's all this going to take?
Difficult to say. But we've got the afternoon, haven't we? I'll go and look and see if there's any sign of the boys.
I say, Maria, I wish it was just us.
There. That's gotcha. Add a bit of air into this place. Hello? You there? Well, what do you think of my wind pump, then? What do you think? Maria?
That's not your wind pump.
Hello? Who are you?
I'm Mary Payne, from the farm. Dad said I should bring you some milk. Do you want eggs?
Come on out. Come on in. How nice. I don't get visitors here. I've started talking to myself. That's a fair sign, isn't it?
Dad said not to stay.
You do everything your dad says?
I'd best go.
Oh, no, stay. I never see a single face here, not even an ugly one. I thought I must be seeing things.
Dad says he don't know what you're doing here.
Oh, well, if you like, I'll show you.
Oh, I don't think...
I send messages, and I receive messages. That's what I do.
What sort of messages?
Ah, well, that'd be telling. I'm a wireless operator, and this is my little observation post. Oh. I tell if I see anything suspicious, or anyone suspicious. I'll have to tell them all about you.
Me?
Well, after all, how do I know where you've come from? How do I know if you're really a farmer's daughter?
Oh, well, I am. Mum said I was to tell you you can come over ours if you want a bath. We got a big tub we bring in the kitchen Saturdays. I'll leave you these if you want them, and you can put a note out for the milk. There's bread if you need it. Dad says today it's free. For the war effort. After that, you can pay. No, I've got to be going.
Oh, no, you mustn't. Not yet.
What sort of suspicious people might you see? German spies.
Ah, you're not so far wrong at that.
You're having me on.
No. There are things I can't tell you, but you'd be surprised if I could. Have you heard of the Fifth Column? Back there. I've said too much already. That's the trouble with being lonely. You get so you long for someone to talk to so much, you get carried away. You'll say anything just for the sake of talking.
You mean it ain't true?
That's true enough.
I'm in a muddle. I don't understand, really.
Don't try. Soldiers talk. Nonsense, really. Let's talk about something else.
Oh, I mustn't stay.
Oh, come and see the view.
I know the view.
You don't know it today. It's different every day, every moment. The light, the clouds, the water. You can't know it. You can only wonder at it.
I know that. I used to play in here.
Who with?
Alone, mostly.
Well, now you've got me to play with. And I tell you what. When the war's over, I'll come back and carry you off and marry you.
Carry me off? What silly stuff you talk.
Oh, I promise you, I'll marry you.
Suppose I say no.
Wouldn't you like to look out through my binoculars and see if you can spot a German spy? A friend of mine caught one disguised as an RAF officer.
Look, there's quite a sea fret coming in. Oh, how cold it is so sudden.
Well, where have I put those glasses down, Mum? Had a pair of army glasses. Yeah, I kept them in the niche under the... Never knew what happened to them. They're proper glasses, not like those useless...
Here I am with the lads. They were nattering away to Miss L. Goodness, there's quite a mist come up suddenly. Hey. You look as though you've seen a ghost. I told him. I said, as far as I'm concerned, if you...
Hello, Maria Newbridge's office. No, I'm afraid she's not here. Not sure. Could you hang on? Kathy, there's this guy wanting Maria. Do you know when she's due back?
Oh, she's somewhere in the Midlands. It could be Norfolk.
Yeah.
But she was seeing someone in Norwich sometime. I'll have a look in her diary. Oh, but she's... No, that seems to have been crossed out. I don't know when she's coming in again.
I'm sorry. Nobody seems to know when she's due back from Norfolk. Who shall I say called if she rings in? Okay, Dr. Jones. Right. Well, if you prefer... Okay. Right. He was persistent. Posh voice.
Mm.
He's going to write anyway.
Maria, I can't reach you at your office and they don't seem to know where you are. When shall I see you again? What a lovely afternoon that was. Now I haven't heard from you for days and... I'm getting jittery. Are you all right? I'm panicking that you might decide quite suddenly and arbitrarily to abandon the whole project. And I don't care about the program. I'm sorry, but it doesn't really grab me. But the thought of not seeing you again... So, I've said it. I've told you how alarmingly important you've become to me. You know something? The glow of you has warmed my room all this week. I'm suffering from withdrawal symptoms. I can't work. I can't settle to anything. Ever since you turned up in my rooms, I've been kind of spinning with joy. When I cross the court here in college, people must think I'm deranged. Maybe they realize I'm in love. I can't sleep. You see what you've done to me? Don't be angry. I'll come back soon to Cambridge and maybe I'll think of something. If you don't come to me, I'll come up to London, although I hate the place, and break into your flat. Except that I don't know your address. Or your office, yes. It'll have to be your office. And I'll carry you off. I'll carry you away to the wind pump and I'll tell you what I'll do then. Next installment. I'll sink to anything, Mary. Please. Please come back. Reach me at college any time. If I'm out, the porter will always get a message to me. Just don't phone home. That wouldn't be a terribly good idea, if you don't mind. My love to you. Will.
And about time.
Oh, terrible traffic.
Cones, halfway up the M11.
Kathy gave us your mail.
Oh, right. But what's this?
Looks personal.
Yeah, and there's this stupid memo.
Is there a bog in this car park?
Hey, you all right? Not bad news.
Hmm? Yes. No. Just a bit surprised by this letter. Hang on a sec. I've got to ring this what's-it, the old girl. Have you got a phone card, Mike?
Tiny? Goodness. I hardly know how to describe her. Well, she's tall, of course, as the name suggests. Tall, slim, commanding, strong face, confident, blonde, with her hair in a rather splendid chignon, or else worn in one of those rolls a lot of service girls wore. Tiny was a fanny.
What on earth was a fanny?
First aid nursing yeomanry. Cocky wasn't particularly becoming, but Tiny could look chic in anything. And, of course, any uniform has a certain je ne sais quoi.
So she was good-looking?
I expect she still is.
But she must be quite old.
Good legs tend to stay the course unless they get lumpy. What a lifetime ago it all was. Of course, when he was first here, he was enjoying his war no end, playing soldiers, playing the catching spies game.
Were there really spies in Norfolk?
Oh, yes. There was a fifth column, no mistake. Young Willie was up there in the wind pump, drawing his maps of the area as far as he could see, ranging for the artillery. He was marking the heights of any hills, working out the range.
What hills?
We have the odd incline.
Anne, I wanted to ask you something. What happened to Mary?
She was drowned.
She killed herself?
No, no. In the 1953 floods. You're too young to remember. We were inundated. Poor Mary was living at Sea Pawling on the coast. The sea broke through there and a lot of homes were lost. Some people climbed up onto the roofs of their houses and were rescued, but Mary tried to get across to save her dogs from a barn where they were kenneled, and she was swept away. Her body was recovered on the dunes at Winterton days later. I saw William at the funeral, right at the back of the church, but Tiny was with him, which seemed somewhat inappropriate, and we didn't speak. He didn't come to the committal. I think he had a horror of funerals after losing so many of his friends in the prison camps. I never saw him again. Until last night, when I saw him walking along the bank by the Broad, not far from my boathouse.
What, here?
Hmm. It gave me quite a turn, a shock to see the white hair. So Somehow, one never expects it. And yet, in some ways, well, he hadn't changed at all. Didn't you know he was here?
Cold?
No.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Oh. I feel wrapped up and wonderfully cocooned and marvelously safe. I don't often feel as safe as this, sweetheart.
Oh.
Oh, God, you make me dizzy. And tongue-tied. So many things I want to say to you, and I can't say any of them. I want to say things that'll make you blush. Oh, why am I so incoherent? If only we'd met when I was younger. I want you to realize that this isn't lust, but love. Oh, darling, have I told you that you drive me insane with excitement? You have given me the libido of a 20-year-old. And it has all gone to my head, and... Oh, I could stay here forever like this. Do you love me?
Yes.
In the morning, let's sail to the sea. We'll lie on the dunes and... Oh, you've turned my brain, that's what you've done.
Well, what's this on your back?
Oh, it doesn't hurt.
Did they do it?
Oh, no, I forget it's there. I still get backache, but I can live with that.
Well, what had you done?
Can't remember. Oh, yes. I'd stolen some paper.
What for?
Oh, come on. You're not interviewing
me
now.
I want to know.
Well, I wanted to write a poem.
A poem of despair?
No. Love poem, I guess.
To Mary?
No.
Tiny?
No.
The Eurasian flautist?
I wasn't that way.
Who then?
Oh, just... women.
Any special woman? Did you men think about sex all the time?
No. Heavens, no. Hardly at all. We didn't have the energy. We thought more about food. Thought about food continuously. No, I guess it was after... Well... I saw a Thai girl. She'd bought some duck eggs to sell to the Japanese, and she was standing by the camp perimeter, and one of the guards started touching her up. I was so angry. I was livid. She was young and very lovely, and there was nothing I could do.
Have you kept the book?
They took it.
Can you remember it?
Not now. Oh. Don't go on about it. Oh, I want to make you happy again. What's the matter? You're jealous?
Oh, hold me, will you? Oh. Hold me.
Oh.
What a lot of life you've had. I haven't shared in.
Did I? Isn't it? It's not you I'm trying to strangle. It's...
But you didn't.
Oh. Well, it was back in that hideous cutting at Hintock. We were building the bridge. It was
this Korean guard beating my back, and then an explosion, and the... Oh, and the rocks began to fall from above. Oh, I'm sorry, once I damn near strangled Tiny. She had to force my fingers apart on her throat.
Poor Tiny.
Oh, was it Mary? Hmm? Mary? Are you there? Mary?
Oh. I woke you, Willie.
Oh, I'm terrified of losing you. I don't think I could cope again.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you, Willie. I'll never leave. Are you awake, Willie?
Oh, no.
I've been awake since before it was light. I went out for a walk and came back to bed. I saw Anne down by the boathouse. She was going over to the village.
Oh, come here. I want you. I feel shivery. Warm me.
Your cousin came down when I was at work yesterday.
Hmm.
Anne told me.
Anne sees and hears everything.
You didn't tell me.
That wasn't a big event. She didn't stay very long. She's not my proper cousin. 3 times removed or something.
Why did she come, Willie?
Well, to see how I fare, I expect.
Anne says she's got...
Who's going to light the primus, you or me? That feels you bloody marvellous, love. Perhaps I'll stay in bed and let you make our breakfast.
What's the matter?
Could you close that window? I may have a touch of fever.
You've got malaria again.
It could be. It comes on so suddenly.
I'll stay, Will. Your dad'll have to get the WVS lady to take him to Cromer. I'll go for the doctor if you'll come.
Oh, it's useless. Tiny says I ought to see someone in London.
She said that?
I think she may be right.
Well, how would we get there? Where would we stay?
Well, she'd run me down. She said she'd save some petrol.
Wouldn't I come?
Not much point, darling. Heaven's sake, I'll be back the next day.
Would you, Willie? Would you? Would you? Would you have stayed with Mary?
Yes, Diney. What happened to Mary, Will?
Well, sweetheart, do forgive me. I honestly don't want to dwell in the past. What's gone's gone. And there's you and me today.
Do you know what? There's some music in my head. Would you mind terribly if I shut myself away and write it down? It's your influence, you know. I got so bogged down with that bloody motet for May Week, and all the time this wind quintet has been banging around in my brain. I shall, of course, dedicate it to you. Hey, where have you gone? Not cross. Maria, where have you gone?
I'm out here on the bank. Of course I'm not cross.
Well?
I want to be out in the sun. It's really hot. The water's all shimmering and hazy. You ought to come out really well. Oh, but I must learn to leave you alone.
Sorry, sweetheart. I'm an unsociable brute at times. When I finish what I'm doing, I'll come out and ravish you.
That's your favourite word, isn't it?
Just give me 10 minutes.
Will?
What is it?
There's a boat. It seems to be coming towards us. There's a woman standing up in it. She looks like Boudicea. She's coming right in here, Will.
I can't hear.
Willie?
I'm working. When will you learn, little Mary?
Look over the water. Come out here. No, look from the window. See?
Hello. Hello there. Hello.
Well, hello. Aren't you going to give me a hand? Where's William?
We wasn't expecting you.
Well, no, I'm not ill, Tiny. Only a very slight touch of the old fever. It's well under control. You know how it pops back.
Who's looking after you?
My cousin's a nurse, Mary darling, or was during the war.
Is there a decent doctor? Willie won't see him.
Well, the doctors are all useless. They don't understand tropical diseases.
Well, then we must find you one who isn't and who does. Your family are worried about you.
I have no family.
Your mother's in the nursing home now, Will. You're a bastard, you know that.
His mother? It's his mother, Paulie.
Is she much worse?
She asks about you all the time. What are you living off? Do you need money?
No, thanks. I'm working as a part-time reed cutter when I'm not writing music. I will go and see Mother. You're right, of course, as always. Doesn't it get you down, always being right?
What a place this is. Back at Beyond, and your little Wendy house, living out all your fantasies. You are dotty, William.
Willie likes it here. He can write here.
Don't your family mind you being here, all alone with William? I mean, do you spend the nights here? What does your father say? It's not quite the thing, is it?
He trusts Will.
Good Lord.
We'll be getting married.
I can see you've not told Mary about the scholarship, Will. Men are such cowards. Now, you would never want to deprive him of that, would you, dear? The opportunity of a lifetime.
Scholarship?
So you go and pack your old haversack, Will Jones, and we'll be away. Mary will give the keys back to Miss Leatheringale, won't you, Mary?
What?
Go on, buck up. Men are such romantics, aren't they? Full of wishful thinking. But you're a woman. Women are realists. Of course, he has a wonderful way with words.
He says the music's all around in the air when we're together, and he's just got to reach out and take it.
Elgar.
What?
It was Elgar said that. But I'm sure he's fond of you in his way. William! William! I've got your old kit bag in the dinghy. Come on! Come on, Will! Will!
Will? Will? Don't go! Will! Stay, please! Stay, Will! Will!
Hello?
You weren't in your rooms.
Maria, I did ask you not to ring this number.
You think she's guessed?
Well, I don't want to put it to the test.
If she'd answered, I'd have hung up.
It was a very dangerous thing to do.
Oh, how censorious you sound. I'm not one of your students. I had to hear your voice. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm okay.
How's the quintet? Are you going to have it ready in time?
Well, I think so. Yes, it's been going quite well.
Are they going to do it on the river?
Hmm? Yep, I hope so.
When? In May week? They won't have much time to rehearse, will they?
This isn't the moment.
I've been so frantic about you. Your little note, it didn't do much to reassure me. You sounded so odd, so constrained. And then when you didn't turn up in London to see the Rushes, well, I was really worried. What happened, Will?
Tiny's had the flu. I've been looking after it. It always goes to her chest. I'm sorry. Anyway, you know I'm out of sorts in London.
We carried it off all right, didn't we? She believed all that about me losing my wallet and slipping back and finding you there, did she?
I don't know.
I thought I deserved an Oscar.
I can hear a car. It may be her.
So she's better now, is she? Look, when will I see you?
I don't know. Don't ring again, Maria, please. I'll contact you.
Will you come to London? You said...
Please. I can't talk now. Maria. I just can't cope. Can't you see? I'm not up to this. Oh, for God's sake. Don't cry. Please.
You sounded almost cold on the phone. Well, not cold, more distracted. That extraordinary little note.
What did it say?
Well, I've got it here. It just starts, Dear Maria. Dear Maria. And then, oh, that's not worth reading. Just
desultory things, all stuff about how mind-bendingly busy he is. Lectures and quintet college politics. And to make matters even worse, how he will remember my many kindnesses. How I put up with yet one more boring old fogey. Kindnesses? I love him. Well, I didn't want to love him. He made me. It was like an onslaught, a great romantic onslaught. I'm falling apart, Mike. Oh, I really don't know what to do. I believed in him, you see. Oh, it took the time, you know me. I'm not one to... Well, not nowadays. But with Will... Oh, he is a bastard.
But you love the bastard.
Oh, of course I do. Oh, it isn't his fault. I suppose it isn't his fault. I get tied up with a man like that, with all that's happened to him, and then I expect him to be stable and dependable.
If he'd been stable and dependable, would you ever have fallen for him?
Probably not.
Mm. I've always rather had the impression that you... Well, that you find stable, dependable guys a bit boring.
I dare say you're right. The whole thing's scribbled on one page, and the end's just... Must rush, William. No love, nothing. It couldn't have been worse if he'd finished yours sincerely.
Poor old Maria.
I can't sleep. I can't write properly. I keep crying. Oh, I cried on the phone. It was awful.
What exactly happened the day when she arrived?
Well, he and I only had a few seconds to get our act together. We concocted our story while we saw her coming in. He bundled my things into hiding as I helped her ashore. We agreed to meet there as soon as we could so that I could collect my things. And I sauntered off down the path to Miss Elle's as though I just dropped in. It never occurred to me that... I never thought I'd lost him. It seemed almost like a game, do you know what I mean? Kind of exciting. Will was as white as a sheet.
So, your things?
Still there.
Here's my hanky. But do you want me to go over there with you? To pick your things up?
No. If I do that, I lose my only chance of seeing him again.
You think he'll come?
Oh, surely. Surely. What have I done, Mike? How can he do this? It can't all be over. Can it?
Yes?
This is Maria Newbridge. May I...
He's working.
I need to speak to him about the programme.
Isn't that finished yet?
Would you be so kind as to ask him to ring me at my office when he's free, please?
My husband's a very busy man, you know. But good luck with your next programme, dear.
Who was that?
Just your telly, female ducky.
Hmm?
She's getting into a menace. I did warn you.
Oh! You made me jump.
I wondered if you'd come back here.
I left some things. He's vanished. I mean, vanished from me. Oh, I don't understand.
It was never wise to fall in love with him, my dear.
Tell me, how could a man be so brave and so stoical and yet with his wife? They fight all the time, he told me.
Tiny loves him.
I love him. I would have cared for him.
Tiny cares.
I would have sacrificed my career.
That would have been very stupid. Your own talents will love you better than he could ever do.
Well, surely a man like him... With all he's been through, you'd think he'd get his priorities sorted out.
Well, maybe he did. Maybe he could only keep afloat by clinging to his raft of dreams. So long as you were to some degree insubstantial, but you became flesh and blood. And then there were conflicting loyalties and... Of course, once the fear of discovery became real...
I've not seen it like that. Tiny sounds flesh and blood enough.
One tiny would be quite enough for any man. But there again,
Could it be that after all these years as a prisoner, he got accustomed to a camp commandant? Maybe he needs the security of constant conflict. Maybe he panicked. Maria, you stride into the life of someone who's been getting along for years, learning to live with the damage, learning to forget, or at any rate finding a place in his mind to file away the pain. You trigger off memories, good and bad, almost a reliving of the most heightened time of his life. What can you expect? You conjured up a ferment of feeling, but storms die down. Tiny could be his safe harbor.
Jones, congratulations. And thank you. I enjoyed that.
Oh, Master.
Most honored. And I understand you've only just completed it, so the players had something of a job to be ready. Trust you.
Oh, I know.
Too busy being famous on the box, I believe.
Mea culpa. You know me, always leave everything to the last moment. It makes Tiny apoplectic, doesn't it, darling? No, it's been in my head a long time, but in the end, I escaped to a quiet spot on the Broads and got the notes down on paper. I often do it. Take a sleeping bag, a few cans of baked beans, no students. No one. Always need to be alone to work properly. That's when all the bother gets ironed out. Tiny knows that. He's jolly good about it, too.
Ah, solitude. Marvellous stuff. Are we making for the buffet?
The people are starting to drift away from him now. Tiny looks tired, don't you think? She looks her years quite suddenly.
You've got to hand it to her, though. What an outfit. Do you want to speak to him?
I don't think he's seen me.
There's a crowd of fans and well-wishers, but you never can tell. He might deign to speak to you. Are you going over?
I think so. The time has come. Ah, I think he's seen me. Yes, Mike. The time has come to say goodbye.
The Wind Pump was written by Dawn Lowe Watson. William was played by James Lawrenson, and Maria by Charlotte Attenborough. Tiny was played by Tina Gray, Young William by David Thorpe, Mary by Patience Tomlinson, Miss Leatheringale by Joan Matheson, Mike by Tom Bevan, David and Tony by Ian Masters, The Master by Peter Yap, and The Girls by Deborah Berlin and Susanna Corbett. The Wind Pump was directed by Terry Cookson.